The Nectar of Instruction, Text 3. Utsahat, Nischayat, Dairyat, Tattat Karma, Pravartanat, Sangatyagat, Sata, Vrite, Sadbi, Bhakti, Prasidyati, Utsaha Nischaya Daryat, Tattat Karma Pravartanat, Sangatyagat Sato Vritte, Sadbir Bhakti Prasidyati, Utsaha Nischaya Daryat, Tattat Karma Pravartanat, Sangatyagat Sato Vritte, Sadbir Bhakti Prasidyati, Utsahat, by enthusiasm. Nischayat, by confidence. Daryat, by patience. Tattat Karma, various activities. Favorable for devotional service. Pravartanat, by performing. Sangatyagat, by giving up the association of non-devotees. Sata, of the great previous acharyas. Vrite, by following in the footsteps. Sadbi, by these six. Bhakti, devotional service. Prasidyati, advances or becomes successful. Translation. There are six principles favorable to the execution of pure devotional service. 1. Being enthusiastic. 2. Endeavoring with confidence. 3. Being patient. 4. Acting according to regulative principles, such as Shravanam, Kirtanam, Vishnu, Smaranam, hearing, chanting, and remembering Krishna. 5. Abandoning the association of non-devotees. And 6. Following in the footsteps of the previous acharyas. These six principles undoubtedly assure the complete success of pure devotional service. Devotional service is not a matter of sentimental speculation or imaginative ecstasy. Its substance is practical activity. Srila Rupa Goswami, in his Bhakti Rasamrita Sindhu 1.1.11, has defined devotional service as follows. Anya bilasita shunya jnana karma jnana anu kulyena krishna anu shilanam bhaktir uttama. Celebrating pure devotional service. They are glorifying the importance of this verse, because by the definition of this verse, the door to bhakti opens. Uttama bhakti, or unalloyed devotion unto the Supreme Personality of Godhead, Sri Krishna, involves the rendering of devotional service in a way that is favorable to the Lord. This devotional service should be free from any extraneous motive and devoid of fruitive karma, impersonal jnana, and all other selfish desires. So we have discussed that Sanskrit definitions have two parts. What are the two parts? Swarupa Lakshana and Tathastha Lakshana. And what are the definitions of Swarupa Lakshana and Tathastha Lakshana? Swarupa Lakshana are the intrinsic characteristics, natural characteristics, and Tathastha Lakshana are the marginal characteristics. The Swarupa Lakshana is always present. And the Tathastha Lakshana may be manifest in some circumstances and not others. So, in the definition of pure devotional service, the Swarupa Lakshana is no. Yes, Anukulyena Krishna Anushilana. That is the substance of bhakti, to always be engaged in favorable service to Sri Krishna. And the Tathastha Lakshana is anyavilasita sanya, free from any other desire, and jnana karma adhyanagatam, not covered by karma or jnana or anything else. So our enthusiasm is for bhakti. Our confidence is in bhakti. So we have to understand bhakti first. We shall examine the definition more closely. Anukulyena means favorable. We should serve Krishna as Krishna wants to be served. Just like in Bhagavad Gita, Krishna says, Patram Krishna Phalam Kayam Yome Bhakta Prayachati. If you offer me a leaf, a fruit, a flower, or water with love and devotion, I will accept it. So we can't offer Krishna meat, fish, eggs, or onions, because Krishna doesn't ask for those things. So serving Krishna favorably means we should be in the mood to please Krishna, and we should actually please Krishna by knowing what Krishna wants and supplying it. I met one rich man in Bombay who was explaining how devotional he was. And in the course of the conversation, he pulled out a beautiful silver box, and he opened the box, and it was full of choice leaves. And he said, he doesn't even drink tea without putting choice leaves. So, we don't know if Krishna will accept tea with tulsi leaves. So we should know what Krishna wants and supply Krishna what he wants. That is favorable devotional service. And Srila Prabhupada says, in the practical sense, we can know what Krishna wants through the spiritual master. And as stated here, Sato Vritte from the previous acharyas. Then Anushilanam. Anushilana means to cultivate, and Srila Prabhupada stresses on the word cultivate. Actually, shilanam means to practice or to study. And Anushilanam, the prefix anu means continuous. There should be no break, but there is no break in pure devotional service. There's no interruption. There's no break because the pure devotee does not engage in any other activity besides devotional service. He doesn't engage in fruitive activities or mental speculation or mystic yoga or any other activity. So, anu means continuous. Anu shivana means continuous cultivation without any break or interruption. And anu also means to follow, as we are rupa anu gas. Rupa anu gas. We follow the rules. So, pure devotional service is done following the spiritual master and following the previous acharyas. And Krishna, your devotional service is rendered in relation to Krishna, not in relation to any demigod. But Krishna also includes Krishna's incarnations, his name, form, qualities, pastimes, paraphernalia, and entourage. They're all included in Krishna. Just like Sadhguru Maharaj once told me that in the early days he saw that Srila Prabhupada was always chanting, reading, preaching, cooking, writing, doing something for Krishna. But one day he saw Srila Prabhupada just standing by the window, looking out the window. So he thought, what's happening with Srila Prabhupada? Just standing and looking out the window. Then afterwards, Srila Prabhupada mentioned he was looking at the vehicles passing on the street because he was thinking which vehicle would be suitable for Sankirtan. So, in one sense, what Srila Prabhupada did may appear to be outside devotional service, but it's not outside devotional service because he was seeing how to engage the energy of Krishna in the service of Krishna. But that is also devotional service. The paraphernalia. Krishna's energy is the paraphernalia of Krishna, meant to be engaged in the service of Krishna. Then, anya means other, and abhilas means desire. One should have no other desire except to please Krishna. But here, Rupa Goswami has added the suffix ita, anya vilasita, which means that one should not have any other basic motive except to serve Krishna. But as long as we are in the conditioned stage of existence, we may manifest some other desire. Not because we want to. We haven't come to devotional service to get any material facility or to merge into impersonal Brahman. And we're engaging in service for the sake of pleasing Guru and Krishna. That is our basic intention. But sometimes, in some extreme situation, like if some person comes to kill us, so we may pray to Krishna that, oh, Krishna, Krishna, please save me. So ordinarily we won't pray to Krishna for the sake of the body, for the protection of the body in normal consciousness or in normal circumstances. But in some extreme circumstance, we may forget everything and just pray to Krishna to save us. So such a temporary prayer in an extreme situation does not exclude us from pure devotional service. Because in a moment of calamity, in a moment of danger, we may identify with the body and just think of the preservation of the body and pray to Krishna. But because our basic motive in engaging in devotional service is not material benefit, only because of some extreme situation we just forgot everything and prayed to Krishna to protect us, we are not outside of pure devotional service. Although when we become more advanced, even in the most difficult situations, even at the time of death, we won't forget the fact that we are the eternal servants of Krishna. We won't misidentify with the body and pray for the protection of the body. But in the beginning, in some extreme situation, in anxiety, we forget everything and just pray to Krishna to save us. There's no harm. Gradually, as we mature in emotional service, we'll come to the stage that in any condition, we won't forget that we're the eternal servants of Krishna. So that's Kanyavilasita. It means that one, that in normal circumstances or in normal consciousness, one should have no other desire. But in the stage of sadhana bhakti, we cannot be completely free from other desires. But they're not our real desire. Our real desire is to serve Krishna. But because of conditioning, because of some habit of false identification with the body or the mind, we may want some relief for mental distress or some protection from the body. He wants to understand exactly what the suffix ita means after anyavilas. Ita means, you could say, to be habituated. In other words, one should not be habituated to have any other desire. So, Anyavilasita Sunyam Gyana Karma Adhyanavrata. So, Varnashram Dharma comes in the category of karma. So, there is something called karma misra bhakti, bhakti mixed with karma, or karma misra bhakti. And From there, one can advance to Uttama Bhava. Because Varnashram Dharma is the beginning of human life. Without Varnashram Dharma, we are on the platform of animals. So if one regulates his activities according to Varnashram Dharma, then he can gradually advance in his position.
Just by participating, using his power of it, he should support the practice and then have one on the Uttama.
Well, here in the Nectar of Instruction, Srila Prabhupada makes the point that we have to work to maintain the body. So the body should be maintained in such a way that the devotee makes progress in Krishna consciousness. So therefore, atyahara, we shouldn't collect more than necessary. Lohya, we shouldn't desire things that we don't need. And Srila Prabhupada gives the hint that the devotee should give 50% of his income to Krishna as a way to make one's occupational work favorable to Krishna consciousness. But it's, we can't judge by one's position in Varna and Ashram what is one's advancement. Because the same activity can be done in different consciousnesses.
In other words,
anavritam, jnana karmadi anavritam. Anavritam means not covered. So how does bhakti become covered by jnana or karma? If one thinks that if I do some karma, then bhakti will develop, that is wrong, because bhakti is independent. So if you think that by karma I can get bhakti, that is wrong. That is covering the real nature of bhakti, which is independent. Similarly, if one thinks that if I don't do some karma, if I don't take care of my own mother or whatever, if I think that my bhakti will suffer, that is covering the true nature of bhakti, which is independent. But if one knows that bhakti is independent and he does things just to keep the body and soul together for the sake of serving Krishna, then it's not. It's for example, we take care of the body. But if we take care of the body thinking that the body belongs to Krishna, and the body has to be engaged in Krishna's service, then taking care of the body is not against the principle of the body. Made in Russian routine. Taking rest, taking medicine. So if a householder is performing the duties of a householder with the idea of giving up material attachment and ultimately becoming fully engaged in the service of the Lord, then we have utsaha. Utsaha means enthusiasm. But there's also over-enthusiasm. Like Raghunath Das Goswami ran away from home to marry Chaitanya Mahaprabhu. Chaitanya Mahaprabhu sent him back. He said, don't be over-enthusiastic. You should live at home with your father and uncle and wife. And be detached, and do bhajan. And gradually, when the time comes, Krishna will free you from the family. But don't be a crazy fellow. Don't be a monkey renunciate. Like in the forest, there's so many monkeys. And they appear to be very safe because they don't have clothes, they don't have a house, they don't have anything. And they appear to be very renounced because they just eat fruits and berries and things. But actually, Srila Prabhupada says every monkey has 24 girlfriends. So they appear to be renounced, but actually they're not renounced. So Lord Chaitanya used Raghunath Das as the example for householders, that they can stay as householders, but be detached and internally serve Radha and Krishna. And then when the time came, Raghunath Das was freed from the family. So we shouldn't be over enthusiastic, otherwise we may fall down. Or prematurely we try to leave Vrihastashram or Varnashram Dharma, we may fall down. So it's better to follow the example of Raghunath Das and the instructions of Chaitanya Mahaprabhu to Raghunath Das to stay in the family and not be a crazy fellow and leave the family. Okay, he's asking about Kanishtha Adhikari. So, but we're coming to Kanishtha Adhikari is in text 5. Okay, so enthusiasm. What is Srila Prabhupada's definition of enthusiasm? Yes, endeavoring with intelligence for? Yes, for Krishna. So, now, confidence is very important. In fact, the whole commentary of Srila Bhaktisiddhanta Saraswati Thakur, quoted in the purport, is about confidence. That one should be confident that by bhakti, he will achieve everything. And even without karma, jnana, or anything else, he will achieve everything just by bhakti alone. And he should be confident that by beginning the process of devotional service, he will be dragged to success in the end. Karma, jnana, yoga, and so on, he cannot get anything. permanent. So this is confidence. It's like faith. Like faith. Then patience. Patience is also related to confidence. If you're confident you'll be successful in the end, then you can be patient. But if you're in anxiety, will I be successful or not, then you'll be impatient because you don't know whether you'll be successful or not. You want to know. But if one has confidence that I will be successful in the end, then he can be patient, because he knows that by his honest endeavors and Krishna's mercy, he will be successful. Then tat-tat karma pravartana. That means engaging in practical devotional service, especially shravanam, kirtanam, smaranam. Now, this tat-tat karma pravartana is the same as Krishna anushilanam. And there are two divisions in both. One is to engage in positive activities in devotional service, like shravanam, kirtanam, vishnu, smaranam. And the other is to avoid unfavorable things. So in the list of 64 items of pure devotional service, the first 10 are positive injunctions. You should do. Like Guru Padashraya, take shelter of Guru. And the next 10 are things that we shouldn't do, like commit offenses. So, anushilanam, cultivation of devotional service, includes both doing things that we should do and not doing things that we shouldn't do. And tat-tat karma pravartana is the same. It means doing things that we should do, like chanting the holy name, and not doing things that we shouldn't do, like committing offenses while chanting. Then sangha tyaga, give up that association which we already discussed, jana-sangha. Jana-sangha, association with ordinary people, destroys bhakti. So sangha tyaga, we should give up bad association. Bad association means karmis, gyanis, yogis, and non-devotees. Or people who are attached to sense gratification. And satovritti, following in the footsteps of the previous acharyas. Like Rupa Goswami, he is the main acharya after Chaitanya Mahaprabhu. So we follow the instructions of Rupa Goswami. And all the acharyas in the line from Rupa Goswami. Jiva Goswami, Vishnu Chakrabarti Thakur, Bhaktivinoda Thakur, and so on. So there's, so these items I printed some verses from Bhakti Rasamrita Sindhu to amplify some of the points in Upadeshamrita. So if you see six preliminary items of devotional service, so number four, is sadhu marg anugamana, to follow the path of the sadhus, or follow the footsteps of the sadhus. It's the same thing, sabodhi. There are six preliminary items. So one is sadhu marg anugamana, follows the path of the previous acharyas, follows the path of saintly persons. It's on the second page. The fourth line of the first verse quote is Sadhu Vart Manu Vartana. Vartma means path, Manu means path. Sadhu Vart Manu Vartana. See? Like Vartma Pradarshat, the guru who shows the way, who shows the path in the beginning. So sadhu vart manu vartana, to follow the path shown by the sadhus. So in Bhakti Rasamrita Sindhu, Rupa Goswami says that the path of the sadhus is shown in the scriptures. Or to put it another way, the sadhus are persons who follow the scriptures. So following the path of the sadhus means following the regulations of the scriptures. So there Rupa Goswami quotes one verse, Shruti Smriti Puranadi Pantra Triki Vidavina, that if one doesn't follow the path of the sadhus, if one does not follow the Shruti, that means Vedic literatures, and Smriti, supplementary Vedic literatures, Puranas, he simply creates a disturbance in devotional service. In other words, we must follow the path of the previous acharyas. We must follow the scriptures. Otherwise, what we may think is bhakti, or what we may say is bhakti, may actually create a disturbance. Of course, the example given in the Nectar of Devotion is the example of the Buddhists, that they may think that they're doing bhakti to Buddha, but they're not, because they're not following the path of the sadhus. They're not following the scriptures. So they're actually atheists. Although they may think that they're devotees, they're actually atheists. And similarly, in modern days, sahajiyas, they may think that they are devotees, but they actually create disturbances. They're not really following the previous acharyas and following Rupa Goswami or other acharyas. And Tyaga Krishnasya Hetave, one should be prepared to give up everything for the sake of Krishna. In the that's the last in the six preliminary items of devotional service. Tyaga Krishna Sihetave. We should be prepared to give up anything for the service of Krishna, or everything for the service of Krishna. And in the purport, Srila Prabhupada quoted also from Bhakti Rasamrita Sindhu that one should be prepared, one should do everything for the sake of Krishna. Same idea in different terms. So if we go back now to the nine stages of devotional service, adoshraddha. In the beginning there should be firm faith. So that is the beginning, that is nischaya, confidence and enthusiasm based on faith. That by engaged, that love for Krishna is the goal of life, and love for Krishna can be attained by bhakti yoga. If one begins bhakti yoga, he will be successful. If he's sincere and doesn't commit offenses, he will be successful. And there's no need for karma, jnana, yoga, tapasya, or anything else. It's also mentioned that jnana karma yanavritam, besides karma, jnana yoga, tapasya, and other such practices, one's bhakti should not be covered by laziness. That comes in Adi. Adi means etc. So laziness comes there. Anyavilasita sunyam jnana karma adi anavritam. So adi, bhakti shouldn't be covered by karma, jnana, etc. So included in etc. is laziness. Well, it's mentioned in the commentary. Maybe we should not talk about the topic of Jesus.
And just like the mystic yoga.
Yes, those, yes. Out of politeness, maybe, Prabhupada didn't mention.
Is this verse, it's the first to which you read, Adi or Adi?
In the definition of Uttama Bhakti, Anya Vilasita Shunyam Jnana Karmadi.
Adi.
Adi, A-D-I, it means etc. So now we've really come to the stage of Shraddha in text 3. And in text 4, we will learn about Sadhu Sangha. Of course, in order to develop Shraddha, there must be some preliminary association with devotees. And in the purport, Srila Prabhupada gives the example of hearing from the Guru, that when you hear from the Guru, or devotee, you develop faith. And when you develop faith, then you begin to systematically associate with devotees, systematically hear from the Guru. So how to associate with devotees, how to associate with the Guru, how to associate with different types of devotees. Well, how to associate with devotees will come in the next verse. Four. And then how to deal with different grades of devotees will come in the verse after. Five. Yes. So-called devotional service performed without reference to the revealed scripture simply causes disturbance for the sincere devotees.
Sometimes there's like for instance, Catholic priest or someone like that will take up, incorporate chanting Hare Krishna into their practice and start sort of teaching chanting Hare Krishna along with Christianity. Would that be something like that could be a disturbance in society?
Well, we want people to chant. Now, if they hear the chanting from a non-devotee, they'll get other things with the chanting. Like, we don't know what the priest may say. If he says, if you chant, then your diseases will be cured. Like they say, if you accept Jesus in your heart, then your diseases will be cured. So it's not really bhakti. It's not really bhakti. Because they have selfish desires. They're selfish desires. But it will become bhakti and mukhi sukriti. It will be like a pious activity which can help them come to bhakti later.
Specific
person who actually
teaching a course on yoga that teaches people to meditate and change Hare Krishna. That's good. And he incorporates Buddhist teachings from Christian saints like that along with Prabhupada's teaching.
We want people to chant Hare Krishna because by chanting Hare Krishna they become purified. And when they become purified they can understand bhakti. But so we can't say that the priest or the yoga instructor is on the platform of bhakti, but he's chanting and he's getting others to chant, so that's good. We always want people to chant. Then by chanting they'll become purified and then they can enter the process. There's a process. So in the beginning we say, do whatever you're doing. Just add Hare Krishna. Because you know gradually, if they're purified by chanting, then they'll gradually understand everything and then they'll voluntarily enter the process.
There's two divisions of engaging in practical devotional service, engaging in positive and avoiding unfavorable. I've heard the terms vidhi nisheda and then pravritti and nirvritti.
Yes.
Is there any difference between
Very
those?
Good terms.
Is there any difference between those two sets of terms, or do they mean the same thing?
Like basically the same. Pravritti means things that we want to get. And nirvritti means things we want to give up. And vidhi means a positive injunction. You must do this. And nisheda means a negative prohibition. You must not do that. Rupa Goswami says in Bhakti Rasamrita Sindhu that the basic vidhi, always remember Krishna, and the basic nisheda, never forget Krishna, include all others. For all other injunctions and prohibitions are servants of the one basic injunction, always remember Krishna, and the one basic prohibition, never forget Krishna.
So, pravritti and nirvritti are more internal then?
No. Pravritti means we want to remember Krishna. Nirvritti means we want to avoid forgetfulness of Krishna. Pravritti means we want the association of devotees. Nirvritti means we want to give up bad association. Oh, I see what you're saying. Good question. That in Chaitanya Charitamrita, Krishna Das Kaviraj Goswami says, Nitya Siddha Krishna Prema, that love of Krishna is eternally situated in the heart of living entities. But by Shravanam Kirtanam, it is awakened. So this statement that its substance is practical activity seems to be contradictory. Well, in the beginning, Shravanam and Kirtanam help us to awaken our dormant love for Krishna. So there must be Shravanam Kirtanam. And when we actually have love for Krishna, there will also be Shravanam and Kirtanam as an expression of one's love for Krishna. So Shravanam and Kirtanam will continue. Now, when Srila Prabhupada says that the substance is practical activity, he's trying to counteract the idea that just by silent meditation one can do bhakti, or just by imaginative ecstasy one can have bhakti. He wants us to be practical in our understanding of devotional service, that there must be activity, especially Shravanam Kirtanam Vishnu Smaran.
Just the previous
week,
it's just like hope.
Why would we panic and make people activity? So why not just by
the strong desire?
Why do we have to go through the problem? What strong desire?
The strong desire to
get out of the material world. That's the desire for liberation. That's not bhakti. Why do you want to go back to the spiritual world? No, I'm not saying it's bad, but I'm asking you why you want to go back to the spiritual world. Yeah. So that is... So we want to get out of the material world, out of material suffering, and we want to get peace and happiness. And all can be achieved through bhakti. Correct? But when we do sadhana bhakti, we may have the idea that by sadhana bhakti, I'll be relieved from all miseries, which is true. And by sadhana bhakti, you'll go to Krishna and enjoy happiness with Krishna, which is also true. But in the development of sadhana bhakti, we should come to the stage where the desire for escape from the material miseries becomes secondary, and the desire to go to the spiritual world for our own happiness becomes secondary, and the primary desire is just to please Krishna. And then when we come to the stage of bhava bhakti, even the desire for liberation is not there. Because in the stage of bhava bhakti, one is actually liberated. So these are not wrong desires or not bad desires. But they can be, as we make advancement, they will be replaced by the higher desire, which is just to please Krishna. Understand. Well, like in the material world, we may be influenced by the modes of material nature, So Srila Prabhupada said that a devotee who is influenced by the mode of ignorance will think that I'm the only devotee. Everyone else is nonsense. One in the mode of passion will think, I want to be the best devotee. I want to be famous as being the best devotee and the biggest devotee. And someone influenced by the mode of goodness will think that I want to go to Krishna, like you said. And someone who is transcendentally situated will think, I just want to serve Krishna, like Chaitanya Mahaprabhu. Mama Janmani Janmani Shwari Bhavata Bhakti Rahitani. That life after life, I just want to serve you. He doesn't even want liberation. Of course, someone may want to go to the spiritual world to serve Krishna. And when we serve Krishna in the spiritual world, we're automatically happy. What is the standard of perfection? Purity of purpose is more important because our purpose should be to please Krishna. We should want to perfect our service to please Krishna. But even if we can also want to perfect our service for other reasons, to become famous or to become popular. And Krishna won't be pleased. But if someone's not as expert materially, but he really sincerely wants to please Krishna, then Krishna will be more satisfied with him. Like there's the example of Duryodhana. He prepared a royal banquet and he invited Krishna to come. But Krishna didn't come because Duryodhana had no devotion. Rather, he preferred to go to the house of Vidura, who was very poor. And when he came, the only food in the house was bananas. And the devotee and his wife were in so much ecstasy when the Lord came. They brought the bananas, and in their ecstasy, they were peeling the bananas and feeding Krishna the skins and throwing away the fruit. And Krishna was eating the skin. And he was relishing. And he was saying that I've never relished such nectar because of the devotion. So the main thing is the devotion, not the material features.
Why is Sharad Damodar stop Mahaprabhu from eating that stale rice of Yamuna? There was 100%, 200%
devotion. You see, Chaitanya Mahaprabhu was taking the Raghunath Das's rice. But out of love, Saurabh Damodar stopped him. He said, this is not fit for you. Krishna Krishna was eating the devotion. So when Chaitanya Mahaprabhu was eating the rice, he was also tasting the devotion of Raghunath Das. But we should want to offer the best to the Lord with devotion. If we think, oh, it's with devotion, we can offer anything. If you think, or anyone thinks, I have devotion, I can offer Krishna banana peels. Is that good?
No, consciously you should not do that. Consciously
okay.
You should not offer this thing.
Okay. So, when Vidura and his wife were offering the skins, they were not consciously offering the skins, but because of the devotion, Krishna was relishing. But Swarup Damodar Goswami was conscious that Chaitanya Mahaprabhu was eating something which was not fit for him.
That he was very pleased with it. He was feeling that he is having nectar.
Chaitanya Mahaprabhu, when he was a baby, he was eating dirt, but his mother told him not to eat dirt because he was hospital. So similarly, there are certain other situations in Krishna's pastime towards my mother, Yashoda wants not to do certain things. So similarly, here, Swarup Damodar also is asking Lord not to eat that stale rice because he is worried about his death. He is not thinking that he was a great personality of God.
Yes. A baby might like something which is not good for him. So a parent may restrain him even though he's enjoying. Now, when Chaitanya Mahaprabhu was enjoying transcendental ecstasy, but he was rubbing his face against the wall, sometimes his limbs were coming out of his joints. Yeah. So internally he was enjoying. But Swarup Damodar Goswami used to restrain him and try to bring him back to external consciousness. And when Chaitanya Mahaprabhu came to external consciousness, he was lamenting that I was with Krishna and you brought me here. So if Swarup Damodar is a real devotee of Chaitanya Mahaprabhu, he should only want that the Lord should be pleased. So if the Lord is pleased in ecstasy, why is he bringing him back?
He is conscious and Vidu's wife was not conscious. That's the difference.
Yeah, because he thought that the Lord will hurt himself. Although internally the Lord was relishing ecstasy, but externally the Lord could hurt himself. And feel pain later. Like a drunk is enjoying himself, but we know that he's harming himself. But these are
very delicate points.
Yes. Very delicate points. Because it looks like Swarup Damodar is going against the principles of pure devotion. Because he should only be pleasing Chaitanya Mahaprabhu. But when he would bring Chaitanya Mahaprabhu back to external consciousness, Chaitanya Mahaprabhu was not pleased. Why did you bring me back here? I had a chance to see Krishna.
There's another point. Damodar Pandit of Navadvip asked Mahaprabhu not to mix with that young boy of that young widow.
Widow, yes.
He did it out of his pure affection. He did not consider Mahaprabhu to be the incarnation of God or anything, who cannot be harmed by anything whatsoever. But he did that. Mahaprabhu did not seem to like it, and he sent him back to Prabhupada to be the guardian of Of course, these are very delicate points, and not for us to decide.
Swarup Damodar was on the highest level of devotional service to Chaitanya Mahaprabhu. And he could, everything he did teased Mahaprabhu. Sometimes, but Damodar Pandit was not on the same level as Swarup Damodar. And there was some offense in what Damodar Pandit said.
But he did it out of his pure love, affection. To stop him so that people may not develop any wrong impression about Mahaprabhu and making wrong remarks about him. That he paid him. And in order to cut it at the root, he wanted Mahaprabhu not to be. His intention was very pure. That maybe his expression was rather gross and prosaic and all that.
Anyway, it brings up one of the first points, which is that all devotees are not on the same level, and one should not imitate. Swarup Damodar Goswami was so close to Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu. He understood all the inner moods of Chaitanya Mahaprabhu, and he facilitated Chaitanya Mahaprabhu in every way. But Damodar Pandit was not on the same level as Swarup Damodar. And his, although he had love, but there was some implied criticism of Chaitanya Mahaprabhu that he was, entertaining the boy of the widow, and that people may think something and criticize him. And Srila Prabhupada comments that he didn't want people to criticize Chaitanya Mahaprabhu, but in his own way, he was also criticizing Chaitanya Mahaprabhu.
He wanted to stop another bad thing. Intention was very good.
Anyway, Swarup Damodar Goswami never saw any fault in Chaitanya Mahaprabhu.
He
only restrained him because he wanted something better for Chaitanya Mahaprabhu, not that he thought he was doing anything wrong. Damodar Pandit thought he was doing something wrong.
That is obvious.
Yes. Okay, so we will go to RT now. And tomorrow we will discuss text 4. Srila Prabhupada, please. Or